Chris. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Reverend Ricky, for reminding us that we serve a God who we can trust more and more. And one of the reasons we can trust God more is because God is, God has been, and God always will be a faithful God. Thank you for blessing us through the ministry of music and song. We invite you now to join us as we read our scripture for today. Dr. Truett has led us in reading from the same passage during our time of responsive reading earlier in the service. And so we just want to rewind the tape and to review what has already been read. And our scripture can be found in the Old Testament book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. I'm going to be reading in the King James Version, and we just encourage you at home to follow along in the tradition and in the version that is before you. We also invite you to text a neighbor, call a friend, and bring your family together as we get ready to read God's word and as we get ready to hear a word from the Lord. Hear these words from the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the applying of this, his holy and most righteous word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, if you will, we ask that you might let the very words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Let all the people of the Lord say amen. For a few moments this morning, we just want to hang these words on the hinges of your mind. You need to get what the good shepherd can give. You need to get what the good shepherd can give. Church, there is no requirement for a psalm to be everlasting that it must first be eternal. Because a psalm doesn't have to be long in order to speak to a whole lot of people. A psalm doesn't have to be long in order to be relevant for a long time. A psalm doesn't have to be long in order to impact many lives in the past, present, and future. Because Psalm 117 only has three verses. Psalm 131 only has three verses. Psalm 133 only has three verses. And Psalm 134 only has three verses. So while these psalms may be small, they say a whole lot with just a few words. While these psalms may be small, they still speak with relevance to various situations. And so a psalm doesn't have to be everlasting in order for its impact to be eternal. And as I have read Psalm 23 down through the years, I have often thought to myself that if all we had were the first three verses of Psalm 23, that would still be a mighty good psalm. Because in the very first verse, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." Now notice, church, notice that the psalmist says in verse 1, he says, "I shall not want," but it doesn't say, "I do not want." Because there's a difference between do and shall. See, there's a time lag, there's a time lapse between do and shall, because "I shall not want" means that eventually God's gonna step in. "I shall not want" means that eventually God will provide. If "I shall not want" means that eventually we're not gonna want, but in the meantime, for many of us under the sound of my voice, there are still several things that we do want right now. Because in the midst of this pandemic situation that's plaguing our country, all of us want this coronavirus situation to go away. All of us want doctors and researchers to find a cure for this disease. All of us want to move from social distancing to physical connecting. All of us want our country and our world to get back to a state of normalcy. All of us want our economy to experience stability. All of us want our lives to bounce back with resiliency. All of us want our children to be able to get back to school and other extracurricular activities. All of us want our restaurants and our stores and our airports and our churches to reopen to serve our community and our country. And so, church, I'm glad that there are some things that we shall not want, but the Lord knows that in the meantime, there are several things that we do want right now. And so verses 1-3 in Psalm 23 express a whole lot of positivity. Because the psalmist says that the Lord is my shepherd. Then he says, not only is the Lord my shepherd, then he says that he leads me. Then he says he restores me. Then he says that he guides me from day to day. And church, normally that'd be enough. That would be enough to make you shout and go on about your business. But the psalmist doesn't stop with verse 3, because after all the good stuff that's happening in verses 1-3, the psalmist adds some reality to all of this positivity. Because he says in verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In other words, the psalmist was saying, as you go through life with all of its dark moments, as you go through life with all of its low moments, as you go through life with all of its sad moments, as you go through life with all of its scary moments, as you go through life with all of its sick moments, every now and then, you've got to walk and not run. Because if you run, you might miss some stuff. If you run, you might overlook some stuff. If you run, you might not notice some stuff. And if you run, you may have to go back and repeat what you could have learned the first time around. And so when some of us get in trouble, see, some of us, when we get in trouble, instead of walking, we run. We try to run from the trouble. We try to run out of the trouble. We try to run away from the trouble. But every now and then, God wants to teach us that when you get in trouble and when you have trouble, if you try to run through your trouble, you might miss the lesson that God wants you to learn. And so every now and then, don't be so impatient. And don't be in such a hurry, and don't be so anxious, because you're bound to repeat what you skip over the first time. But then not only does he say that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in verse 4, he also says, for thou art with me. And church, the preposition with, the preposition with lets us know that the reason we're going to get through our valleys, and the reason you're going to get through this coronavirus pandemic, and the reason you're going to get through any other crisis in your life, is because the Lord is with you. Now the text says that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And church, the rod corrects you, and the staff comforts you. And the reason you can get comfort and correction is because the Lord is with you. Is there anybody here who can testify that the only thing that has kept you with all of these social limitations, and the only thing that has kept you with the threat of viral contamination, is the presence of the Lord? Because when you know that the Lord is with you, that'll give you comfort. When you know that the Lord is with you, that will give you peace. When you know that the Lord is with you, that will give you confidence, because you know that whatever you're going through, you're not going through it by yourself, because the Lord is with you. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because the only reason you got up this morning, the only reason you keep getting up every day, the only reason you keep putting one foot in front of the other, the only reason you're able to make it from day to day, is because you know that as hard as things may get sometimes, you don't have to go through it by yourself, because the Lord is with you. And so, once you get to verse 4 in our text, We're reminded that life will not always be sunny. We're reminded that life will not always have situations where things are gonna go your way. But in the midst of whatever hand life deals you, there are some things you can get that only the good shepherd can give. And the first thing you can get that only the good shepherd can give is a prepared table. That's the first thing you can get that the good shepherd can give. You can get a prepared table. Watch the text, verse 5. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me. And church, that means that when God prepares a table, you don't have to buy the food. When God prepares the table, you don't have to cook the food. When God prepares the table, you don't have to put the food on the table. All you got to do is scoot up to the table, because the Lord has prepared the table. And when God prepares the table, he does it in such a way that it's not only nutritious, but it's also delicious. And the good news is that when God fixes something for you, it's fixed. And when God fixes something in your life, there's nothing that nobody can do in the world to take it away from you. So the Lord, he prepares a table before you. And notice the kind of table that the Lord prepares. First, he prepares the kitchen table, which means that the Lord is able to put food on your table. Now some of us, we can remember, if we're honest with ourselves, some of us can remember the time when it was questionable whether there was going to be enough food on the table. And some of us, we remember the time when it was questionable whether it was going to be enough food for everybody around the table. But when you pulled up to the table,
God prepared enough food for you and everybody else around the table, because God knows how to prepare the kitchen table. But not only has he prepared the kitchen table, he's also prepared the communion table. Because he prepared fellowship with him so that we can live for him on earth, and we can have the promise and the assurance that we're going to live with him in glory. And so he's prepared the kitchen table. He's prepared the communion table. But then he's also prepared the time table. Because the old folks used to say, he may not come when you want him. But if you hold on just a little while longer, and if you keep your hand in God's hand, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Is there anybody here who can testify that God is never too early and God is never too late? Because we serve an on-time God. And so the Lord has prepared a table of blessings for you. But you can only get it if the Lord is your shepherd. And so the first thing you can get that only the good shepherd can give is a prepared table. But then the last thing you can get that only the good shepherd can give is you get to dwell in the house forever. You get to dwell in the house forever. Now in the text, when the sheep are going by the still waters, that's on the outside. When the sheep are walking through a prepared path, that's on the outside. But if you keep on walking with the Lord, he'll prepare a table before you, and that's on the inside. He'll give you some anointing, and that's on the inside. He'll cause things to make your cup overflow, and that's on the inside. But church, here's the real shout, because when you get to the house of the Lord, you can come from the outside and go to the inside and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now when we gather in the house of the Lord for worship, that's just a visit. When you come to the house of the Lord to lift up his name in praise, that's just a visit. When you come for midweek power hour service in the middle of the week on Wednesday from 7 to 8, that's just a visit. When you come for midweek Bible study, whether it's at 12 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the week, that's just a visit. When you come to church for a meeting or a rehearsal or to serve in some ministry or some membership cluster, that's just a visit. But thanks be to God, there will come a time when you won't just come to the house of the Lord for a visit, but you'll be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, church, I don't know. What the house of the Lord is going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like when we get to see the house. But I do know one thing. I do know that we're going to have a place in the house, because the Bible says that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And so in my Father's house, you know that there's a place in his house just for you. But then we not only know that there's a place in his house for his children to reside, we also know that our Heavenly Father is in the house, because Jesus said that if you want to know how to pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed would be thy name. Because Jesus wanted us to know that God resides in his house, but not only is there a place for you in the house, and not only is our Heavenly Father in the house, I'm so glad that the last thing you know is that Jesus is in the house, because Jesus is the one who invited us to dwell in the house. Jesus is the one who died so that we could live in the house. Jesus is the one who made a way for us to get to the house. That's why the songwriter said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we'll shout the victory, 'cause in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. 'Cause when you're down, he can lift you up. When you're sad, he can make you glad. When you're sick, he can heal you. When you're in need, he can provide for you. When you're in sin, he can save you. When you're too far out, he can bring you in. When your back is against the wall, he can make a way out of no way. When storms are raging in your life, he can say peace to your storm. Won't it do it? Won't it do it? If you believe it, say yeah. If you know it, say yeah. If you're glad about it, then let's give God the glory, and let's give God the honor, and let's give God the praise, and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We serve an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. Come on, play something sweet. We serve an amazing God, and our God's worthy of our praise. What a reminder today that we serve the kind of God who will keep us in the times we're living in. I invite you right where you are in your home just to begin to give God thanks right now. Come on, just begin to tell God thank you. Come on, you ought to tell him. You ought to disturb the atmosphere in your home of doubt and frustration and annoyance, and cause it to be an atmosphere of praise and worship and thanksgiving even in this moment. And we're going to do a special kind of invitation today, because we're where we are and you're where you are. But our invitation to you is just to open your heart to the Lord, to invite the Lord into your home, to invite him into your space, into your thought processes, and into your heart. There are ways, even right now, as there are more than 100 of you who are worshiping with us in this moment, we invite you just to concentrate on the Lord and to invite him to come into your space. And this is our opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. The songwriter said,